Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
The Inquisition starts right here. The Inquisition. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're going to delay Wide Open Wednesday a few minutes here today. So be aware of that. That's the programming note for you, because we're going to be talking to the author of the book about Robin Williams in a few seconds here. So be aware of that, ladies and gentlemen, because we do all of our interviews on Wednesday. That's the way it works.
Wednesday's birthdays.
Tuesday's birthdays,
Tuesday is birthday day.
That's right. And as we enter birthday season, that's very important.
What is treat day for, what's his name?
Sunday is treat day.
Is treat day. For 24 hours, you can eat anything you want.
But only 24 hours.
Crispy hoisin owl.
Bon.
That's mine. There you go. Damn it. God. Rob said to me that it's soupy in Washington,
D.C. Oh, it's horrible outside.
Is that humidity and warmth?
Yeah, I'll give you the perfect example. Yesterday, I was wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Yes, and you looked great.
Thank you.
You should have seen his ass.
I walked home in the 9 minutes it took me to walk downhill.
Right.
I had to change my shirt by the time I wanted to leave the house, because it was sopping wet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm up here. I'm up here in crisp land, in crispness. We had some humidity, but it's now crisp, so it's fine. And
what do you suppose your current temperature right now, would you say, in Maine?
I don't have access to that.
Probably mid-60s, low 70s.
Sure. I have been busily toiling away all morning since 6 o'clock this morning, so I don't exactly know what it is, but I ducked my head outside momentarily, and it was a tad crisp.
I have the weather right here for Hancock. It's 60.
Ladies and gentlemen, and now let's go to Al Roker, which, by the way, would have been your chosen. If you had achieved, that would have been your chosen field.
We've all achieved our own right.
Well, they said everybody to a person at VCU said you'd be a good weatherman, which is code for saying you're fat.
An insult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, but you could have, you wouldn't have done the meteorological degree thing.
No, I took a class in meteorology.
Don't they conjure, really?
Oh, sure.
There are
meteorologists, and there are guys that look at a map.
Weathermen.
Well, but more now are meteorologists than back in the day. The classic weather guy, the classic Don O'Brien weather guy, where Don would just roll and be like, hey, how you doing? Here you go. Looks like you got a low pressure system down here.
Meanwhile, he's using a chroma key on his jacket.
Yeah, there were weather guys back in that day. Now, pretty much, you got to have you got to have your weatherman. Do we have our guy standing by?
We do, and the weather 64 and crisp.
We're going to be talking to Dave Itzkoff. He has written a book called Robin, and Dave is a culture reporter at the New York Times, where he writes about film, television, theater, music, and pop culture. He previously worked at Spin, Maxim, and Details, and his work has appeared in GQ, Vanity Fair, Wired, and other publications. So we have Mr. Itzkoff on the phone now.
I believe I'm here.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. Sorry for our little glitches in the land of podcast world. Dave, it's great to have you on the show, and we appreciate you taking the time to come in and talk about the book.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We got you because a lot of people want you, so we're going to get right to it. This was something I'll always remember, that experience of how I felt when we lost Robin Williams. It was something that affected so many people. Probably more than, certainly in my life, more than any other celebrity death. Let me get right to it. When Robin took his own life, obviously shocking, surprising, was there anyone at all in his inner circle, or even people that were on the fringe of relationships with him, who might have seen this coming? That's the first thing I wanted to know.
Yeah, I think it's very complicated. I know when you lose somebody like this, I mean, we all wish that we could kind of understand exactly why it happened and maybe even come up with a way that it could have been prevented. And it's really not until, you know, several months after his death, when the results of his autopsy were completed, that they found evidence of a brain disease that I think was perhaps more severe than they even realized that he had. And in his own lifetime, he was given a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And what the autopsy turned up was evidence of something that's similar, but in ways more severe, called Lewy body disease or Lewy body dementia. And that affects, you know, even more parts of the brain than Parkinson's does. It really controls, or hits parts of the brain that control how we perceive information and how we process it, and really it was you could say it was kind of changing his brain. It certainly had effects on his personality, and people who suffer from it can have massive mood swings and paranoia, and so it's really not the kind of thing that we can say, well, here's exactly why he did what he did, or mm-hmm. really even how, you know, certainly people who have it can be that their lives can be, you can try to make it as comfortable as possible, but it's not something that is curable. It's certainly degenerative, and it's very unfortunate.
So do you think he saw that coming and didn't want to be out there with his level of celebrity, and maybe that contributed to it?
It's hard to know. I mean, there certainly are, you know, friends and colleagues of his who saw him in the last weeks and months of his life who sort of feel retrospectively that perhaps, in their interactions with him, he was trying to sort of settle accounts with them and say goodbye in his own way. Dana Carvey tells a story of, you know, encountering Robin outside a theater in Mill Valley, California, and Robin sort of apologizing to him for believing that he stole one of Dana's jokes from many, many years ago. And so Dana sort of interprets that as perhaps Robin's way of sort of trying to make good with him one last time. But I don't think anybody can know for sure. There's certainly the police did not find, a suicide note. They searched his computers and didn't see any evidence that, for example, he'd been doing web searches for methods or preparation. We it's hard to know if it was something that he had been planning or if it was just a kind of terrible impulse that he had and just happened to follow through on in that moment.
We're talking to Dave Itzkoff. The book is Robin, and his suicide was a shock to everybody, Dave, but I think his drug use was not. He was very open about it. He was open about a lot of his struggles. He would actually do it on stage. You'd hear about this. But I would imagine that even with a big gap in his life, the alcohol, the drug use, that takes its toll as well.
Well, you know, he had been successful in staying clean for a while. I mean, certainly in his years in Hollywood and the period that he was working on Mork and Mindy, there was a lot of vice at that time. I mean, a lot of drinking. That's certainly when the drug abuse was its hardest. And I think people may remember he was with John Belushi on the last night of his life, and Belushi died of an overdose the following morning. And that event, that along with the birth of Robin's first son, I mean, those were two real moments that Robin realized that he had to get clean and sober, and he was able to do that for a period of 20 years or so. It was not until the early 2000s that he had a relapse of alcoholism, and then when that occurred, that was very hard on his family, and that certainly led to a very heartbreaking divorce, but he was able to, you know, maintain his sobriety, went into rehab, and that was very important to him. That became a big theme of his last stand-up tour, that he really wanted people to know about what he had been through, and was very dedicated to his sobriety at that point.
And you've profiled him. This was not just a posthumous biography that you wrote. You actually spent time with the man himself, and that, I'm sure, gave you tremendous insight when you were writing a book about him.
Yes, absolutely. I had been on the road with him for a few days during that last stand-up tour, which he called Weapons of Self-Destruction. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I certainly got to see a side of him that was, you know, nowhere near as manic or frantic as he might portray himself on stage. In our conversations, he was much more, you know, low-key and just kind of, you know, had a very, you know, gentle manner. He, even in a one-on-one conversation, he would still occasionally, you know, sort of slip into a voice or a character or an accent. I think that was just sort of how he communicated with people at that point. But he was also just kind of a cultural omnivore. He was just into everything and wanted to learn about everything that he could. And, I mean, that brain of his, it just seemed like it could store everything he ever encountered.
And you say that his spontaneous performing, which everybody thinks of Robin Williams as the ultimate improvisational comic, was not just pure talent. It came from somewhere else?
Well, I think certainly there was a lot of preparation that he would do in terms of, you know, whether it was a big stand-up show that was going to become a TV special or performances like the one in Good Morning Vietnam when he's, you know, playing the DJ and some of those routines seem to be happening almost in real time in front of the camera, that prior to those performances, he would do a lot of work, often in private, just kind of riffing, not necessarily alone, but usually with a collaborator, whether it was an assistant or later with one of his wives, but just having somebody there to kind of just jot things down as he would be just popping off the top of his head, and then later going back through his notes and trying to turn things into a kind of organized and logical performance. And then, the talent was as much making stuff up on the spot, which he could do, as it was, you know, going in front of a camera and making it look like he's inventing it as we see it. That was part of his genius.
Dave, you know, I would imagine the kind of celebrity that he had to be almost soul-crushing. I mean, and you walked with him, you were out there with him in public. Everywhere he went, not only recognized, but the expectations of people. Sure. You know, Robin Williams, be the funny man. I mean, but just like nobody else. I would imagine on some level it had to be a little rough for him.
Yeah, I think it kind of cut both ways. I think he was very, you know, from an early stage of his career, very conscious and I think a little bit fearful of the demands of celebrity, of what that would take from a person. And he certainly achieved it at a level that very few entertainers have known. And you're right that I think he also felt a certain obligation that, you know, if he could make you feel good about yourself or if he could give you just a little sliver of himself, whether it was just a joke or a voice or an accent or to spend even a little bit of time with you in a way that, you know, was easy for him to do but would make you feel special, he really felt obliged to do that. And, you know, those were small transactions. But you're right that over a lifetime, they add up to quite a bit, and it certainly took a lot from him.
There's so many different levels, so many things he achieved in his career. We think about the stand-up comedy. We think about the fun movies that he made. I'm always going to remember him. And what affects me most today, when I look back, the touching film roles. You know, the Awakenings, Good Will Hunting. Awakenings, I use a line from Awakenings at my own father's in his eulogy. That's how much Robin Williams meant to me. I loved him as an actor more than a funny man. Did he have his career was kind of right till the end? It was in many different arenas. You got the chance to talk to him. It's a jive question, but I'm curious about it. Do you think he preferred one over the other? Do you like being a dramatic actor more than doing the silly stuff?
Because I think in a way he got a bad rap in some ways as a comedian who just sort of woke up one day and decided, oh, I want to be taken seriously now. And in fact, he'd put a lot of time into his acting training and had a kind of classical background that not only had he studied at Juilliard for 3 years, but before that had attended two other colleges where he worked a lot on acting and appeared, you know, regularly in, you know, local stage productions. I mean, if you were in Marin County in the early 1970s, you could have seen him play, you know, Fagin in Oliver or, you know, other Malvolio in Twelfth Night. So the fact that he became a stand-up comedian was almost kind of an accident, just that he happened to be back in San Francisco in the 70s when the stand-up scene was kind of taking off again, and it was a style of comedy that, that suited him. But if he had found the acting roles first, if he had come back from Juilliard and gotten right into theater or movies or TV, maybe he never would have done stand-up, and that was a sort of a happy accident that he just excelled at both, really, and pursued both kind of simultaneously.
Dave Itzkoff, the author of Robin, you did hundreds of interviews, more than 100 interviews for this book. Was there any one conversation that stood out in your mind? Was there any? I mean, when you go out, I'm always curious about the process when people do things that you do. And when you go out there, did you ever sit down and say, "Oh my God," you walked away from the interview saying, "This was the mother load here. This was insightful."
I think there were a few. I mean, I spent a lot of time talking to Zach Williams, who is Robin's older son, and you know, he really not only shared a lot of, I think, personal recollections of his father and getting to engage his father as an adult in his own adulthood, but a lot of family history that he turned me on to that was fascinating, and you know, introduced me to other friends and family members. So that was very, very meaningful. Certainly speaking to Billy Crystal about Robin and tracing really the whole arc of their friendship from the earliest days to the very end of Robin's life, and certainly seeing Robin start to succumb to some of the symptoms of his disease is very tragic. And honestly, getting to talk to Gary Marshall before he passed away, who was of course the creator of Happy Days and a co-creator of Mork and Mindy.
Right.
I mean, he was just a wonderful storyteller and a kind of a raconteur. Really, a very fun conversation to hear him, tell those tales.
Gary Marshall. I mean, I'd talk to Gary Marshall about what he had for breakfast.
That would be
a fun conversation. I would imagine with
he
that,
he could probably make a great interview out of that. Yeah.
I want the waffles. There we are. Was there a belief? And I know we've only got for a couple of seconds here, Rob. I know you wanted to ask a question. I'm just loaded.
It's fine.
Here.
Go ahead.
Was there a belief in the comedy world where the substances were a necessity? I've been reading so much about Robin Williams, and you read about the National Lampoon guys and Saturday Night Live and Belushi. There was a time in that early 70s going through the decade that I think it seems like the substances were part of the job. Everybody was doing something back in those days. And
it was certainly part of the after hours scene, the kind of revelry that would take place once everybody had finished their sets and then would go out for late nights and early mornings after. I think Robin asserted, and I believe him to a certain extent, that taking drugs while he was on stage was not helpful, and in fact kind of an inhibitor or would interfere with what he did. And he had an early example. I mean, Richard Pryor was a great mentor to him, a real kind of inspiration in his earliest years. And Pryor also, took a lot of things he probably shouldn't have. And, Robin really had that example to live by. I mean, Pryor would talk very frankly in his own stand-up about abusing drugs and how it hurt him, what it did to him. And I think Robin really took that to heart quite sincerely.
There's so many parallels in style between Robin Williams and Jonathan Winters, and he even got Jonathan Winters a job at the last seasons, I guess, of Mork and Mindy. But Jonathan Winters battled his demons too. When you see someone that is so brilliantly equipped to do improv-style comedy as Jonathan Winters was earlier and then Robin after, is there a chip? Is there some sort of weakness, do you think, in the brain that they shared, or some commonality? Because they worked so similarly and they both had their demons that they fought.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I'd be on dangerous footing to try to make a medical diagnosis.
Sure.
But I think you're right that there are real parallels there. So, I mean, certainly Winters, as talented as he was also a kind of a wounded figure in a sense. I mean, he was diagnosed with bipolar, and he'd had a couple of hospitalizations as a younger man. And as hilarious as he was, and as off the cuff as he could be, there was definitely a kind of a sadness underneath. And I mean, Winters, long after, you know, his time on Morgan Mindy maintained a correspondence with Robin and would write to him. But they were very funny letters, but there was a certain neediness to them mm-hmm. also. He always was wanting Robin to visit him, wanting to spend time with him, and, you know, really wanted Robin in his life in some way.
You know, Dave, I appreciate you taking the time to talk about this. I wanted to say that the book is getting tremendous reviews, and it seems weird to say about a celebrity, the book is Robin, but someone like me, I think for people that are going to buy this book, you might get yourself a little closure, because there's not, I don't think there's ever been a celebrity that passed that I've thought about more. I find myself watching his performances. I miss him terribly. I'll always believe he had much more to give us. That's selfish, but it's the way I think a lot of people feel. This is an exhaustive look at Robin's life, and it's really got tremendous detail. I wish you nothing but success with the book.
Thank you so much.
Insight in there, Dave, and enjoy the rest of your book tour, if that's humanly possible. I know that's a lot of work.
Too, but these kinds of conversations are really helpful, and I really appreciate you know, you're putting so much thought and empathy into your question. So thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
David Itzkoff,
the book is Robin. You can get it on our page at Amazon.com. Thank you very much. Great talking to you. That was fun. That was great. That it will give you a little closure on that man. I watch the particular movie is Good Will Hunting.
I've never felt
this way about a celebrity in my life. I've never sat there and said, "Oh boy." And I find that with Robin Williams more than anybody that's out there. He'll come on and I'll say, "Oh God, there's no he shouldn't be gone." He had those horrible health issues at the end of his life, and it's much more severe. You get a lot of that detail in this book. It's
Take a quick scroll through his IMDb. It's amazing the amount of product he did in 63 years. It's really, I mean, we don't even mention, I mean, for me, when you say Good Will Hunting, it's hard for me to put into my head that, oh yeah, that's also the guy in The Birdcage, another one of our favorite movies. World According to Garp, a fantastic film when he was just a kid.
Oh my God, I forgot Garp. Garp was there too. And that's when I realized that I like the Robin Williams that was in movies. And I like going back to Garp. I like them all. I like Patch Adams. I like Awakenings.
Aladdin.
Aladdin is another.
Amazing.
Aladdin is what Oscar likes.
Yes.
Oscar likes Aladdin. And also
best genie around.
Yeah.
What's the one where they're in the museum?
Night in the Museum. I have all three of them on Blu-ray. That's right. He's Teddy Roosevelt. That's right.
All right. Guess what? You know, with Mr. Itzkoff coming on, the book is Robin. Go grab it. And because we do sell a lot of books on this show, and that's why we get these wonderful authors.
Patch Adams.
It was mentioned, I believe.
Thank you.
One of my favorites.
It is Wide Open Wednesday.
Popeye.
We will take a break. Okay, enough with the stuff. I didn't like Popeye at all.
Nobody did.
But that was Shelley Duvall's fault.
Yes, I agree. You know what? Have you seen her? She's put on so much weight.
We will take a break. We have to start the show, and then we'll come back. And guess what? It's Wide Open Wednesday.
Yes.
And we will take your phone calls. The lines are locked and loaded. We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
A little sip of Perrier here. I had to stop drinking alcohol because I used to wake up nude and hood in my car with my keys in my ass. Not a good thing. Hi, can I help you? No, thanks. It's just flooded. I'll be okay. Beautiful, baby, beautiful, yeah.
Because you're sucked into drinking beer by believing it's a healthy thing. All these beer commercials usually show big men, manly men doing manly things. You've just killed a small animal. It's time for a light beer. It's a scary thing because you realize the first purpose of alcohol is to make English your second goddamn language. Eventually, you may be quite fluent. You may be a Nobel Prize physicist. After my maybe 9, 10 Heinekens, you're going, you're speaking fluent drunkenese, bravo. Next thing you know, you get a couple more beers, you've got a friend in a headlock going, I love you, little f***er, I love you. That's the kind of love I have for you, baby, goddammit. And then there are your friends who smoke marijuana going, God, man, alcohol's a crutch. Really? And when you get stoned, your discretion goes out the window. You could be eating kitty litter going, this is crunchy, man. And the horrible thing is people who get stoned try and get their animals stoned to make them feel better. It's not bad enough that you proved that Darwin was wrong. You're going to take the whole family with you. Here's your dog going, please don't do this to me. I've just learned to lick my own d- Leave me alone. Don't do this to me. And your dog, you're going to go, hey, Farfel. Dog food. Whoa, my tail. My tail. Don't do it. Don't push him back down the food chain. Don't do that.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the heart of our nation's capital in the Podcast Village Studios. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, a radio show and podcast with a worldwide network of listeners who get it. If you're here, you're in the know. You can listen 24-7 on our new Play-A-Pod app. You're going to love it. All items for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And you can call us anytime at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. Especially today.
Yes.
Because it's Wide Open Wednesday. And our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, every business needs great people, but they also need a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. Let ZipRecruiter help. ZipRecruiter is the smarter way. They build a platform, they built it, that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns that what you're looking for. It identifies people with the right experience, and it invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just today. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, F-R-E-E, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. And let me move over to this side in my new palatial studio up here. Ooh. In the great state. And
Command,
I want to go to
center.
This guy because we haven't talked to him in a while, and I think he might be doing a throwdown as we go to Ronik in Vegas. Las Vegas, home of the Golden Knights tonight. We are on. You are going down tonight, Ronik. You are going down.
Go Knights, go.
How big is it in that city right now? I mean, having
man,
not
it's,
only
it's simply this, freaking yeah. amazing, man. Everywhere you go in this city, you see nothing but Knights gear, flags on cars, bandanas everywhere. People have stickers. It's unreal.
Yeah, it's going to make it all the more disappointing. It's going to make it all the more disappointing when you go down tonight, when you lose that game too. Yeah, baby. How are you, Renee?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. A little tired, but other than that, I'm good. I'm ready to go watch the game tonight. I think I may go to the game tonight. We'll see.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll see. It's simply amazing here.
Ronik is a guy that works in the entertainment industry out in Las Vegas, so I hope that one of those whales comes in with like a suite so you get to sit and watch the game.
Or maybe he'll be in the pre-show.
Yeah.
don't hate the pre-show, man. You know, this is Vegas, but we have to do everything, you know, super big, man. Don't hate that.
All right. Well, Ronik, I also wanted to say, since you are in Las Vegas, be aware that coming soon, it's just around the corner.
Yes.
Very excited about a little information coming down the road about the Mike O'Mara show. That's the only hint. Okay. That's the only hint that I can give you. Is there anything else?
Where are the white women at?
You saw that the other day on Oscar. That's awesome.
Ronik, we will keep in touch. Feel free to give me all the crap you want. You come by it honest. You are a true Vegasite. And enjoy the time out there, my friend.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good one.
Let's go to Heather from Shawshank.
Oh,
this is the prison. This is the prison guard again. Heather, how are you, Heather?
Oh, no.
Sorry about.
Be careful what you say.
Yeah, it's inappropriate with Morgan Freeman right now, isn't it? Hello,
good morning,
Heather.
Boys. Good morning, intern.
It would really be when I start to do my Morgan Freeman voice, I have to figure out like saying things like, "Well, Heather, that's a lovely dress you have. I only wish it was a little shorter." No, I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
Is that him?
It's all alleged.
How are you, Heather? What can we do for you?
I'm doing good, boys. I have a quick question. Am I breaking the crime director?
Oh.
I missed that. Did she?
She said she has a quick question, and if she's breaking the prime directive, but did she drop?
Heather, are you there?
I think she dropped.
We lost Heather.
Yeah, she broke the prime directive. She had a bad cell phone connection.
Let's go to Rick in Concord, California. Rick, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Jack 411 has a first name. It's O-F-C-A-R. Jack 411 has a second name. It's T-O-D-D Moore. Oh, I'd love to listen every day, but once a month, is they okay? Because Todd and Oscar have a way with ones and zeros. They're not gay.
Hey!
I love that.
That was terrific.
You'll get a new episode this weekend, sir, just for that.
There you go. Little promotion for Tech 411. Yes. Let's go to Brandon from my home state where I was born, Connecticut. Hello there, Brandon. What can we do for you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm headed back to the D.C. area from a long weekend in Boston, seeing my friends up there, and I was I got the push notification, called through the app, and I happened to be driving through your state, so I figured I'd give you a call.
It's sad, you know. We were talking about Robin Williams a minute ago. That makes me think of all the people that have passed, and I've lost my mom. And normally, when listeners used to drive through Connecticut and call the show, I'd say, stop in. My mom will make you some fish chowder. But she's no longer there, and you'd have to go to the people that bought her home that hadn't mowed the lawn the last time I peeked.
Have they no fish chowder for him?
No, they would not have any fish chowder.
Not even a can?
I'd settle for one of those bottles of Roundup. to get the yard tended. No, that's I shouldn't say that.
Stop Brandon, by and bring your edger.
Brandon, drive safely. Is there anything else we can do for you?
Well, I just wanted to say, I think especially going back to the beginning of this calendar year, you guys have been doing some of your best work. I've been off Facebook for 4 years. I think, Mike, maybe you should take a break because all these haters, great work.
Okay. Every phone today. Phone is breaking up. But thank you. I know what you were saying. That's very, very kind.
It's the grid, Mike. The grid.
We have to go to Rich. It says here on my screen is from Moscow. Is calling us from Moscow. Hello. Ooh. Hello, Rich. How are you?
Hello. Hello, my friend. I'm actually waiting for the Scorpions to play.
Oh, really? So you are in Moscow. That's where the Scorpions are. All right. There
Well,
we go.
Well, you know, the winds of change, Gorky Park.
Oh,
oh, that's right. Great 30-year-old reference.
I love that song.
Are you really in Moskva?
Yeah, we're actually, my friends and I are walking in Gorky Park right at the moment.
Mike, I can vouch for him because he texted me, this is Rich Hostely.
Ooh. Oh, Rich Hostely. Yes. Oh, that's right. Rich Hostely, who, let me see if I've got this straight. This is my good friend, Rich Hostely. Who I liked one of your you were on a train going to Moscow. I remember you showed that the other day. This is a man I'm incredibly jealous of. He, to the best of my knowledge, this man no longer is gainfully employed. He simply travels the world and lives off the good graces of others. That's the impression I. Rich, you're taking another one of these. How many weeks will you be traveling this summer?
Well, I'm here for 2 weeks, and I'm flying back to London. Unfortunately, British Airways messed up my flight out of Moscow, so I'm flying back to London for a little while, and then I'm going to Budapest.
Wow. And it's just, I mean, you've been everywhere, man. I mean, it was the, where was it, Southeast Asia, where you were last year, someplace like that? Well, you've been everywhere.
Yeah,
I was in Thailand for just about 6 weeks, Tokyo, Hong Kong. So now in Russia. I was in Estonia prior to this. I have to tell you, Oscar, I got to let you know that the Russian women here are on a scale of, like, let's say 1 to 10. They're about 3.
3?
Yeah.
What happened? Oh, really? Is it the cold winters? Were they all shipped out, exported through the websites?
You know, that might explain something, Rich, because I don't know if I was high or not, but didn't I see you on Facebook dressed as a woman?
Yes, I'm Mother Russia.
Okay, so
Russia has
when you dress as a woman, who has a heavier beard? You or the average Estonian resident?
Oh my God! You know what?
I would have to say the average Estonian.
Okay, well,
Rich,
done.
I like the idea of making you our travel reporter. When you check in on Wednesdays. You should call us on other Wednesdays and just regale us. Are you still staying in those pesky little hostels that you like?
Well, I have been, except for this trip. I've actually been staying in Russian 3-star hotels, which equal our 1-star hotels. So.
Those aren't stars. Those are asterisks.
Those are asterisks.
How much Levi's jeans cost, if you don't mind, Mike? One more question.
That's right.
You know, Levi's, people seem to be wearing them, but I can tell you, I looked at a set of Vans that if I was to buy in California, cost maybe $40 here. They're running about $90.
Wow.
$90. Mm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and actually, how do they... Mike, I found a guy riding a soft tail, like my new soft tail, and the going price for here is $56,000.
Oh, my God, to get a Harley in Russia. In Russia, yeah. Harley rides you. What the God today. Hey, so you are you're doing the summertime travel in Russia. How do you get to talk about politics at all? Do you have any discussions about how the Russian people feel about what's going on in this country with, you know, with Russia being such a big part of it?
Yes, our guy, he's a really cool guy. He's 32. He's been with us for 10 days. Alex is his name, and he speaks very highly of us as Americans. He understands our political strife, just like he has political strife. I will tell you that everybody that we've met, and we've been to some farms where no one speaks English, everybody has been so kind, so opening, so they treat us well. And the only place that we actually had a problem was two nights ago where we ended up in a Russian mafia bar and they told us to F off.
Oh, really? Wow.
What series of bad decisions? Because that's just not one bad move. Yeah. There's a series of bad decisions that lead you to a Russian mob bar.
Well, there's not like a Hard Rock on every corner.
No Applebee's in town?
No.
Okay, just checking.
But there are McDonald's.
Oh, nice.
That's good. That sounds so scary.
So, and actually, speaking of McDonald's, just really quick, let you guys know, the food has also been fantastic.
Oh,
really? Really? How did you know that it was a Russian mob bar?
Because our translator basically said that.
Also, well, Mike, the T-shirts said Russian mob bar.
Exactly. Hey guys, I hate to do this to you. We're jumping on the metro because we're actually
Get out of here. Thank you. We love you. Thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate it. Let's go to Drew in Salt Lake City. You're on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Drew.
Doing well. What can we do for you, Drew?
Mike, I was wondering if I could pick your brain a little bit.
Pick it away. So, there's nothing left of it, but go ahead and pick it.
You and I share a common vice in that I love casinos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a sucker for the slot machine.
Okay, me too.
And I will be going to beautiful Riverside Casino in Iowa next week, visiting there for a little bit. And I was wondering... Perfect. When it comes to slot machines, do you prefer like the old fashioned reel, like actual reels, or the video reels?
I do not go. I rarely go near the electronic ones because I always think that they're fake.
Mm-hmm.
I think I always want I want a mechanical element. Now, with that mechanical element, you can have a lot of different electronic devices through it. But the actual wheels themselves, I like them to be mechanical. What were you going to say?
The last time I played at Riverside, I won $500 on the double diamond. Get the one that's on the aisle. Okay,
that's the double diamond. Slide. Yeah, and stay away from the Wheel of Fortune because those are just traditionally the big ripoff.
They're for rubes.
Is Riverside the casino we went to? Did we go?
Yeah, you were up very high for a little bit.
Yeah, for about 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, and then I lost all of it. So, go to the mechanical ones. That's it. And enjoy it. And we appreciate it. Keep supporting us and Mr. Bridges out there. Yeah, go ahead. Lay one on us. Go ahead.
What goes through your mind when you see somebody sitting at a slot machine playing, but they're also playing the machine to the right and to the left of them?
I think they ought to be, I don't want to make a death threat on the radio show. That's no.
But you know that's stupid, right? Because they set up, traditionally, slot machines are set up loose, tight, loose, tight, loose, tight. And so if you see someone
said no, they're not.
What rube told you that, and why do you believe
that?
That
is not true.
I learned this in a Russian machine. I was in a Russian mob bar with Rich Hostley. He told me.
But when people are greedy enough that like it's a crowded it's crowded casino,
like the graduating class.
To say, you know, that they want to play both at the same time. I always hope that nobody pulls the levers anymore. They press buttons.
Right.
And I've always wished that when people are sitting side by side taking up two machines, that they're, when they press them at the same time, there'd be an electrical charge that would go through their arms and electrocute.
Oh, so they just have to complete the circuit.
Yes.
If you touch two machines
at once. I totally agree.
That's it. All right, we got to take a break. Thank you very much for the call. Tell these people, get on the horn. Tell them to stay in there. We're doing Wide Open Wednesday. It's a crazy show today. We will take a break and come back with more of your phone calls at 800-920-MORE. That's 888-920-MORE. 888-920-6673. More of Wide Open Wednesday coming up on The Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, friends. As someone completely untrained in medicine, I got to give it to you straight. Mike and the gang aren't going to be around much longer. At this point, Mike is more machine than man. Oscar is hopelessly hooked on porn and painkillers. And Rob is asking an awful lot of his pancreas.
True.
My advice? Enjoy them as much as you can while you can. Order The Bonus Show. Because like Dude Walker says, 5 hours a week just ain't enough.
That's right.
Especially once that Grim Reaper comes calling.
Right.
It's sad, exactly. Right?
All gonna die. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Yoko CO. Do you ever wonder when you're gonna die? Seems to be a theme here.
Yes.
Hopefully it'll be years from now, decades even, but it might not be. It could be next week, maybe even tomorrow, maybe even in about 5 minutes. The point is, you don't want to waste precious hours of your life doing paperwork or sitting in traffic, people, or, God forbid, trying to update your organization's website. Well, at Yoko CO, they can help you with the last one. They know how to build websites that get results, and they love doing it. So don't spend your final hours trying to update your homepage. Let them spend their final hours updating your homepage. And if they die in the process, hey, at least they died doing what they love, right, people? Then you can die the way you always wanted to. By flying on a bungee cord over a major bridge in Southeast Asia and crashing on the rocks.
Wonderful.
Check them out at Yoko, YOKOCO.com/TMOS. That's YOKOCO.com/TMOS. And the first 10 organizations that reach out will receive a free website consultation and performance report. We appreciate that. Let's get right back to your phone calls on Wide Open Wednesday. Sorry I go off mic when I do that. I've only got so much space.
It's proximity effect, Mike. It gives the show a real feel.
Olney, Maryland. Let's go to Jim. Hello.
Hotel.
Jim, how are you?
Great. Jim. I have a multiple choice for you.
Okay. Ooh. Play it on me.
A is a homework assignment for Rob. B, is it just me or everybody? And C, why TMOS is better than Adam Carolla.
Oh.
Wow.
Spicy.
It's like choose your news.
Well, no, I mean, I'm going to go with the one. A homework assignment for Rob would be nice. What's the second one again?
Is it just me or is it everybody?
Is it just me as a feature we tried? We might do it again in the future. And why is the Mike O'Mara show? I have to go right to my inflated ego. Tell me why our show is better than Adam Carolla.
Oh, that's unfortunate. See, when I listen to
Can you move a little slower, though, with this routine that you've done? Because I'm waiting. Right now, Carolla probably wouldn't have you on. That's just that's just my impression. You know?
You're giving O-Town a bad name, sir. Speed it up.
Routine.
When I play TMOS, it starts playing right away. When I go to Adam Carolla, I just get 4 minutes of commercials. Oh, and then every couple minutes, I get more commercials and more commercials. Oh, it's awful. Yeah.
We would like to have that problem, sir, to be fair. His pre-rolls are pre-rolls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, then he goes all show.
Yeah, he goes all show. Then he has a commercial break. It's set up differently.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and
are you defending Carolla? Are you?
No,
are you
I'm saying
that?
If we ever go to that model, a-holes, you better defend it because that's what makes money.
Okay. Well, let's get on it and we'll be ready.
Well, that's
ready
what I'm telling this gentleman from Olney.
I'll be ready.
Step off.
He was one of the a-holes?
Yes.
Okay, what is the homework assignment for Rob?
Oh, I think this is going to be a good one. A Muhammad stock tip of the week, a compilation would be great. Just back to back to back to back.
All right.
Yeah, that would be great.
Heather's back from Shawshank prison. Heather, your phone was terrible. What's going on? Real quick.
Just real quick, I'm actually heading out to Vegas this weekend, and we're going to be eating at the Golden Sphere, and we managed to reserve Frank Sinatra's table out there.
Nice.
Okay, that was worth
it. Really?
Congratulations.
Hey, while you're there, have the maitre d' bring a phone to your table, a wired phone.
Let's go. Her phone was no better the second go around. You know, you never know whether it's the the hardware or whether it's the service.
100% really chance know. She was holding it upside down.
Ryan from Baltimore, Maryland, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show. Good morning and welcome to Wide Open Wednesday.
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey. Good morning. How are you? I woke up to my daughter Maddox turned 4 years old today, and I woke her up, and she decided to cry when I sang her happy birthday this morning.
Oh, why?
I don't know. She got too many presents and got mad at us something. I don't know. Not really sure. She reminds me of your daughter, son Mike.
He's been whining
every time. Every time I listen and you talk about something he did, I think of my daughter all the time. It's hilarious.
And do you call her Ryan? Do you call her Maddie?
No, we don't. We decided that the M-A-D-D-O-X, it's the same amount of letters, and it works out.
Also, it scores more in Scrabble.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Maddox. Happy birthday, Maddox. We wish you a very, very, very wonderful birthday.
And along the way, did any of your kids hate the birthday song? Robert hated the happy birthday song. To this day, he's not big on singing it.
I couldn't get by the whining because I'm thinking about him yesterday, which was just everything was kind of I'm not a whining person. I don't care for whining. Whining kind of now people have accused me of whining on this show for decades.
No, I wouldn't call it whining.
Maybe that's why I'm sensitive to it. It's ranting.
Ranting.
It's more of a rant than why. Let's go to David.
It's a declaration of principles, Mike, is what
Mississippi.
It is.
David, you're on the Mike O'Mara show.
Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning?
We're doing great. How's things down in Mississippi? It's not burning, is it? Just kidding, David. Go ahead.
It is hot as sweater balls down here, for sure.
Sweater balls.
Sweater balls.
I like that.
Jotting that one down.
Been a big fan since WJFK. Thank you guys for bringing the funny.
Thank you.
I heard something yesterday I wanted to pass on to you guys. I was listening on the PlayaPod app, and I happened to hit the half speed when you guys were talking about Good Friday right at the first of the show.
Yeah.
And it sounded like you guys were about 10 margaritas into a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Crying. I was laughing so hard. It was hilarious.
Now, the truth of the matter, Rob actually was.
Yeah.
That's the thing that did it with that.
Anyway, just wanted to say hey to you guys. And
oh, I love getting the calls from Mississippi.
Thank you.
And I understand. I've just heard a rumor. It might not be true. Roseanne might be moving there.
Oh, it'd be nice. Have a parade.
Let's get an update.
Or a rally. Guess what?
Hit the bell. It's time.
Oh, is it time?
He never lets us down. Kind of calls at odd hours, but time for Mo's stock tip of the week. Mohammed, you're on the Mike O'Mara show.
J.P. Morgan Chase.
Ooh. Oh, it's a good one.
Oh, big bank. Big bank.
Opening new branches in the D.C. area.
This has been Mo's stock tip of the day.
Let's take one last phone call during Wide Open Wednesday. Thank you for your calls. With the delay, that normally doesn't work that well. Thank you very much. Dan from Scarborough, Maine. Hello, Dan. You're on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. How are we all today?
Yeah, we're doing great, Dan. What can we do for you down in Scarborough?
That's good, Mike. I just thought I'd clarify. When you mentioned last week, I'm a few days behind listening, you talked of a town south of us, which is called Saco, not Saco. It's called Saco.
Did I say Saco? I thought I called it Saco.
I thought so.
No, you did what most out of staters do, even though
I'm from away
forever. You pronounce it the wrong way.
How do you spell it, sir? Sir, how do you spell it?
It's S-A-C-O.
Okay.
Did I really say Saco?
It's not.
Yeah,
it was
embarrassing.
It's not Jose Canseco. It's Jose Canseco.
No, I'm really. He's
what brand
right,
of watch do
wait,
you
wait,
wear?
Wait, hold on, a second. It was really, really. I know it as Saco. I know it as Saco, but I may have slipped and said Saco. But what the hell was I referring to? I don't even remember when I would bring it up.
The gentleman was calling, and he was going to stay in Saco, and he wanted to know where you live so he could come up and visit.
Oh, okay. Saco. And I probably did say Saco. You know, and I am really embarrassed.
You know
Dan.
Better than that.
Yeah,
that
come
is
on,
really
Mike.
Terrible. That is really, really horrible. But I urge everybody to come up and visit me in Bear Harbor. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. He's right. When he's right. Oh, wait. Hold on. Stop the music.
Stop the music.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, but I really have to take a call from Ellicott City. We never got to it this week. But,
right.
This is Roger from Ellicott City, Maryland. I don't know if anyone missed this online, but if you did, let me bring you up to speed. Over the Memorial Day weekend, there was, for the second time in 2 years, flash flooding like you would not believe. I'm talking about going up to the second story window of this little town in Maryland outside of Baltimore that is stunningly devastating. It is an amazing tragedy. And you guys are living that now for the second time in Ellicott City. Absolutely terrifying water rushing through the main street of the old town there. How are things going in Ellicott City, Roger?
It's bad. So yeah. They knew it was going to happen again. But it, I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
That's okay. And don't be nervous. Don't be. You have friends here.
So, it was very scary. I wasn't in Ellicott City when it happened. But the, wow, I didn't expect to be nervous to talk about it.
No, there's, listen, I mean, it's a terrible time. And sometimes you react to that. Let's do it this way. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Right now,
as far as Ellicott City, when the water recedes, and I would imagine it probably recedes as quickly as it comes up. What is, how many, do you have any idea of roughly how many businesses have been, devastated again by this? Probably,
all of them, all of them cannot get into Main Street. So Main Street is on a hill, and because of all the construction that's happened over the last couple of years, all the new houses and everything that they've built, they've basically made a channel of water that just flows straight down into historic Ellicott City. And
what he's talking about is surrounding the area. They used to have these forested areas,
trees
that are around Ellicott City, and they diffused the heavy runoff. Even though Ellicott City is the bottom of a bowl, that's the way the topography is in that area, the forestation around actually would prevent the water from getting through. Now you've got a situation where it just races to the bottom of the hill because it's got because of development, unchecked development, which is really, if you want to talk about a great crime in this country, we had it when I lived out in Northern Virginia. We've got it in Florida now. They don't give a rat's ass. Nobody's checking on the GI. They don't care. What they care about is lining the pockets of developers. And believe me, I saw it in Northern Virginia. It is just as corrupt as the day is long. You want to find out why it's corrupt? Check out the father, brother, cousins of the people that profit off the land sales. If they did a deep dive on that, you would be stunned at how many people are related to selectmen and council members and county supervisors. It would boggle your mind, and it's crap. And no one, look, I don't know whether they knew that the result would be this, but it's obvious. I read an article about it the other day in Ellicott City that, this development is one of the reasons they've had this problem, not to mention the ridiculous rain that we've been getting anyway, but it's got to be tough. Was there loss of life there was one guy that passed
one away. Gentleman, and they finally found the body, but his body was missing for, I think, 36 or 40 hours.
Just a hero.
Amazing. Yeah, he was a hero. Somebody. He was trying to help somebody else.
I wish you nothing but the best, Roger, over there. Has anybody given any kind of timetable in Ellicott City about when things will get better?
Well, right now, that's one of the biggest concerns is the fact that several businesses hadn't opened back up yet. Some of them just opened less than 6 months ago. So it's been almost 2 years since the last flood. And this type of flood is unheard of in Ellicott City. They'd say 1,000 years or 100 years or whatever,
twice now in 1,000 years
from the river.
Yeah.
The river would flood and it would flood up the street. This is like a river flowing down Main Street, which is an incline.
Yeah.
Amazing. Hang in there.
Destroyed so many of those businesses. You can't get into it. They're not letting any people come in and appraise it yet. It's really kind of up in the air, and a lot of people are saying they're not sure they're going to come back.
And I wouldn't blame them one little bit. Our prayers go out to you and everybody there after this devastating tragedy in Ellicott City, Maryland, and they're going to need some help, and it's just terrible. It really is. Just a horrible situation.
The gentleman who lost his life tragically, Sergeant Edison Hermond, who was a National Guardsman, and he was just trying to help somebody. A total stranger.
Yeah, it's terrible. Really, it's just weird. It's an anomaly, but it also is.
But when you see the geography the kind of rainfall it, what they've done to it, it's not that weird. It's actually kind of horrifying that they would let it happen and let it happen twice.
But you have to also think about the big picture, which is the world we live in and climate and things like that.
True.
We're looking down at my, you know, my area down in Florida right now, where the lakes are higher than they've ever been in May. And we're wondering, what does that bode for the rest of the summer?
Right.
And are we going to get more of the same? It's a scary time. But you know, the people that say, oh, it's all just a hoax. Climate's just a hoax, you know? Duh. Really? I mean, come on, give me a break. But how about that? That was articulate, was it? Really? I mean, come on, give me a break. Has no one fought that?
I'm Charlie Brown.
And I'm Irv Harrigan. We'll take a break. We are so late.
We are
so, so late. We'll be right back.
Warp on Gangnam Style.
Informed. Intelligence. Irreverence. Political persuasion.
Hey, it's Chris Frates with Political Persuasions. This week, Trump scraps the North Korea summit, muddies the waters, and helps Republicans in the polls?
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. Hey, millennials!
Hey!
Who wants to be a millionaire? Well, here's an important pro tip from Cornerstone First Financial. The fact is, a millennial homeowner is 10 times more likely to become a millionaire than their renting counterparts. And yes, I'm using the Slumdog Millionaire.
Millionaire.
10 times. Millionaire. 10 times more. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
So how can you afford not to buy? Millennials are investing their futures with home purchases and with good reason. Yeah, they're not all living in their parents' house and going on television shows and making asses of themselves.
That's right, Adrian.
$2,500 rent payments actually translate to the equivalent of a $3,100 mortgage payment when you calculate the tax benefit, which equals a mortgage loan. $500,000! Why rent when you can own? Invest in your future. Just remember to use a lender that can help navigate the ins and outs of home ownership for the first-time home buyer. Cornerstone First Financial will hold your hand through the entire process, even if it's sweaty, making sure they get the best deal for you and your family. I promise you, Cornerstone First Financial will give you sound advice. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. And we thank Cornerstone First
the Financial. Best.
Oh, yeah.
The best.
We have a super, super quickie, break here. What do I... Oh, I got so much. God, this is tough. Okay, I just got to throw it in there. I wouldn't feel like I'm doing my job as a superstitious fan. Caps, please.
Okay.
I know you've given. Can you give just a little bit more tonight, please?
Gold night's going down.
What time do we tune in now? Should I tune in at like 8:35? Because I am not watching that medieval times bat-ass again with the guy with the sword.
Well, they're not going to have a brand new show, are they? I mean, are they going to have a new presentation? Are they going to repeat the presentation? What are they going to do?
The show they did for the final was the same show Oscar sent me when I saw it online. It's the same show.
So they're not going to cover it again.
Well, why wouldn't you? It's entertaining, and not everybody's probably seen it.
You don't think that everyone that watched the game one isn't going to see game two?
He's supportive of it.
He loves it.
I like the effort and the art.
I would support it.
I'm not a fan of the team. I'm a Caps fan.
I understand, Caps. If every game they brought down someone new from the rafters.
Celebrities on the...
Yeah, it's like,
I'm
hey,
all
look,
in.
Here's Mark Addy. He's coming down.
Wayne Newton in the astronaut suit.
Penn Jillette. You lower celebrities down, and they say, they lower Wayne down, 80-year-old Wayne, they lower him down from the, and he goes, start your engines.
That's the wrong sport, Wayne. That is the wrong sport.
Do you think, are we going to get Michael Buffer again tonight?
I hope not. He's a tool stain ass.
Watch out, Rob. Watch out.
Hey, I didn't quote him. Nope. I'm just offering an opinion.
No podcast too small for
Lord. Oh, yeah, he'll get you.
I didn't
he'll
quote him. Yeah, I just don't want to say anything bad. ABC might cancel us.
Let's get ready to litigate. All right. Anyway, we've got to take a break. Come back. Yes, we will come back. And when we come back, it's news you may not need. Right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Sorry for the quickness, but we had to take phone calls and we had to interview the author. Because this show is happening. Hot. We'll be right back.
Shalomi, my homies. Intern Emily here. If you haven't heard, I'm shipping off to Israel for the next month.
She back yet?
I'll be climbing mountains, trekking through the desert, and even floating in the Dead Sea. But whatever will I do with my downtime?
Emily.
Luckily, TMOS is now available on Spotify. It's easier than ever to listen wherever and whenever you want.
Holla.
And the best part? It's free. So check out The Michael Mara Show on Spotify. Tov, yalla, bye.
Tov, yalla, assalam. No, that's Holla. The other religion. I'm sorry. Welcome back to The Michael Mara Show.
You're doing good.
Brought to you by our bonus packages. It's sure getting warm. It's as hot as two rats screwing in a wool sock. It's so hot, I just saw two fire hydrants fighting over a dog.
Boom!
Now that's hot. Is that hot? It's a good time of year to stay in your home and run that blessed air conditioning until you can't feel your face. But how will you pass the time? Well, you serial self-pleasurer, how about the TMOS bonus show? 60 extra minutes of uncensored commercial-free fun that's cool. That's
what?
That's cooler than a polar bear's toenail. It's the most fun we have all week, so buy it and tell Mother Nature to screw off. TMOS bonus show is the most fun. Oh, I'm sorry. Tell me, you put a lot in here.
I did.
And tell Mother Nature to screw off. No one likes it when the weather is hotter than a whorehouse on dollar night. The TMOS bonus show, the most fun you can have indoors. Big laughs in lovely air-cooled comfort. Just go to michaelmaraschow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. The TMOS bonus show, it's cool enough to freeze the balls off a pool table. So please,
it's a mixed metaphor.
And thank you, everybody.
News.
There we go. Boo. All right, we got to deal with this too. God, busy day today. Yeah. Roseanne Barr, she didn't only get herself fired; everyone connected with her show is out of work.
Yeah.
Although
Michael Fishman.
Michael Fishman. Several of them were going to quit themselves. Wanda Sykes was working as a writer, consultant, and producer on the show. But as soon as she saw the tweet, she said she would not be returning, which obviously became a moot point. Sarah Gilbert, she plays Darlene. She denounced Roseanne before the show was canceled. Clearly, she saw the writing on the wall. She said, quote, "Roseanne's comments are abhorrent and do not reflect the beliefs of our cast and crew or anyone associated with our show. I'm disappointed in her actions, to say the least. This is incredibly sad and difficult for all of us. We've created a show that we believe in, are proud of, and that audiences love. That's one that's separate and apart from the opinions and words of one cast member." Now, Roseanne has not left Twitter, at least not yet. Last night, she issued a second apology, and this one seemed a little more sincere. In a series of tweets, she said, quote, "Don't feel sorry for me, guys. I just want to apologize. Don't feel sorry for me, guys. I just want to apologize to the hundreds of people and wonderful writers, all liberal," in parentheses.
Oh, God.
She doesn't get it.
Nope.
She doesn't get it. "And talented actors who lost their jobs on my show due to my stupid tweet. Losing my show is nothing compared to being labeled a racist over one tweet." It's not one tweet, Roseanne.
No, you sort of have also, a history there.
I took a deeper dive into this, Mike, because I wanted to find out. And, you know, I've kind of been obsessed with this. And I read a book about 2 years ago now where it's you've been publicly flogged or out, you know, mock outrage. Right,
right. I remember that.
So it took them 12 hours to make this decision. ABC did, right?
Right.
And I say that is a long time in this day's news cycle to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Because the move these days is you see something bad, you unfortunately fire somebody and move on, right?
Mm-hmm. Right away. Right.
This is actually compounded from previous conversations that executives had with Roseanne multiple times, even before her show launched,
what
about
you're saying
her Twitter
some,
account.
Some people have said, what you're saying, Oscar, is what I've heard from other people. They knew what they were getting.
Yeah.
They knew what she was all about. She was somebody who was way out there. She was out on the fringe, and this is not her first time
and yet it
at
didn't,
the racist rodeo.
It
either,
didn't stop them from putting, you know, a dozen episodes on the air to cash in.
Well, and to be so they took the risk, right?
Right.
And then during the season, she had three or four other encounters with management, apparently, that said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And then she would say, "I'm quitting Twitter," again, during the success of the season. They made a decision that said, there's no coming back from this. She's not going to stop. We're moving on.
And it also speaks to our culture as it is today, where these people, make no mistake about it, are more emboldened than they've ever been before.
Sure.
There are more people that are retweeting bat-ass crazy conspiracy theories. It is really, it's the times we live in. We will look back on this, I pray to God, as a time when the country went a little whack job, and I hope it gets back to some sense of normalcy.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be okay, because now she's revealed it was only because she was taking Ambien.
Yeah, she said she was Ambien tweeting. It was Memorial Day, too. She says, I went too far and do not want to defend it. It was egregious, indefensible, and please don't. Here she is trying to be noble, which is just so
classy.
She says, please don't start all that boycott ABC stuff. Now, when you say that, it's like, hey, please don't boycott ABC.
Yeah.
Please.
It is exactly reverse psychology.
And she's going on just the seat of a reasonable discourse. She's going on the Joe Rogan podcast. Yeah, Roseanne, that'll resurrect your career, baby. That'll really do it for you. Go on Joe, ballsy Joe, who politically incorrect Joe. That's exact. Roseanne, I'm sorry. The ship has sailed, babe.
Yeah.
That's it. You know that she's had a lot of
lifeboats thrown to her. She's been on the ship a couple times, and she just keeps jumping off.
And I'm bummed for it because the show. I watch the show. I don't like the show. I really don't. I think it's kind of hack.
Yeah,
I've always thought that, but I just didn't dig it that much. But it was entertaining to so many people, and they were kind of finding their voice a little bit.
Can she save herself if she is lowered out of the rafters at tonight's game?
We'll have to wait and see.
Fingers crossed.
Here's what I didn't like about Roseanne. It's a comedy show, and then they would do that kind of over melodramatic drama at the end, like Dan breaking down the door.
Oh, that was my favorite part. You didn't like that?
Well, no, I'd like it, but it's kind of jive. It's a little
kind of jive.
That's just me. Yeah, kind of jive. Thank you very much. You know,
it was a nice fresh of breath air from everything that's perfect.
It was
in
a fresh of breath.
She's
air.
Nasty yeah, to my friend Patton. She's nasty to my friend Patton. So that's true. Screw her. We'll have to wait and see what happens, but it's over. Snoop Dogg was at the bot. This is a light story to balance out this Roseanne stuff.
Right.
Snoop Dogg will always lighten up the news you may not need. He was at the Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival over the weekend to help break the Guinness World of Records for the largest gin and juice.
Hey, that's fun.
Technically, the record was for the largest Paradise cocktail, but it contained 180 bottles of gin, 154 bottles of apricot brandy, and 38 jugs of orange juice. So that is a gin and juice. All 132 plus gallons of it.
I would love to take a taste of that and say, a bit sweet. May I send this back?
It also had a giant pink umbrella and a straw in it.
Yeah.
So that's good. Why do I think they would have had hair in it?
Of course. Any of those musical festivals, a lot of dust.
A lot of dust, hair,
a
skin,
small curled hair.
Gross. Nasty. It turns out people who wear glasses don't just look smart. They probably are smart. Not smart enough to realize that LASIK is now cheaper, but smart. According to a new study out of Scotland, there's a connection between intelligence genes and bad eyesight genes. Now, does that count for aging eyes, where you put your readers on? I'll take whatever
I can get. It absolutely does.
The researchers found people who were more intelligent were 30% more likely to also have the genes that made them need glasses.
I can't see, but I'm smart.
I read all these books, and yet I'm blind.
A new survey found the majority of Americans have had a nightmare about work. But the most common nightmare, as show of hands, anybody have a nightmare about work?
I had one last night.
Yeah.
You did?
You know, mine are always, they go back and they're always in the JFK studio. It's board hopping errors. Like the carts don't play.
My nightmare last night was about you, and I wasn't going to share it with you, but I'll do it now.
Oscar, that was not your dream.
Do you
that
want me
was
to give
yesterday.
The most common work
please,
nightmare
and then
first?
And then I'll share mine.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I have them, but they're not really about current work.
Yeah, mine are always at JFK. I don't know why mine, I was so happy.
Mine are always just a former boss. Here are the 8 most common work nightmares and how many of us have had. It's true. Number 1, sex with a coworker, 60%.
Pony.
Being late, 47%. Screwing up a project, 34%. Getting fired, 21%. Being naked at work, 19%. Fighting with your boss, 17%. Getting lost in the office, 9%. Killing your boss, 4%. Yikes.
That's a nightmare?
This survey took a quick
I dreamt about killing my program director in college. I thought it was a great dream.
Wonderful dream. Yeah. What was your dream?
Yeah, about me.
I had a dream that Rob died.
Oh, no. Wow.
Again, is that a nightmare?
Oh, yes, well, because then I'd have to run the board.
That's true. It's true.
One more job.
Oh, my God. And now, you know, that's wonderful.
How did I die?
It had to do with your unhealthy lifestyle.
And what about was there a funeral? I don't care. I mean, that's I understand that.
This is what ended up happening. We took one day to honor you, and
thank
it
you.
Was back on the wagon.
There you go.
Right. Sounds back about to right. Right
back to it. Mine are usually in the past with the boss I had and fighting him.
Yeah. Oh, like physical fist fights?
Yep. Now a little something something. I won't go any further than that.
We can explore this later.
We didn't mourn you. You should know that.
Yeah, it was kind of like when I had the flu.
This is
one off day and then everything back to normal.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. Everything's going to be A-okay.
I don't know. I mean, if I die, it's really bad. In your hands, so we'll see.
It's not a it wasn't a premonition. It was more like,
oh no, because we all see
a wishful
you as
dream.
Like,
no, it wasn't a wishful dream. It was a concern.
It was a concern. We all see him
as,
you know,
it was a concern.
He is a very good fortune teller, this one. So I got
by the way,
a week and a half.
If you'd see me tomorrow, I'll talk about riding my bike up the hill here in Maine. If you'd see me riding that bike, you would have had a dream about a different partner.
And I also don't take any pleasure, if we're talking about premonitions, on the Tony Perkins show collapsing.
Oh, calling that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that
oh,
was,
I did call
know.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
I walked in there.
Yeah.
I said, hello.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the tea leaves show me.
Yeah. It was kind of like predicting warm weather in August, though, wasn't it?
I've been fielding.
He saw it coming.
Yeah. I've been fielding that email. Anyway. Now a little something something.
Yes.
No, that's not fair. That's no, not fair.
Not fair.
I haven't
how
received
dare
any
you?
Correspondence. Nothing. Anyway, if that is the truth. I'm sorry. Now a little something something. A little unusual. Back in 1997, Kristen Gilmer was... this is a great story, and it gives us, on a day with a lot of bad news,
right,
it gives us a nice palate cleanser. Kristen Gilmer was a 12-year-old sixth grader in Yuma, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a great teacher named Judith Tonzing, who always encouraged her because she knew how smart she was. On her last report card, she even wrote a note about how Kristen would end up graduating from Harvard one day and told her to invite her to the ceremony.
Oh, nice. Mm.
The note meant so much to Kristen, she kept it for over 2 decades. She said it was the first time anyone other than her parents believed in her that much. And now, 21 years later, Kristen just got her doctorate in public health last week from Harvard.
Ow.
And Judith was there to see it.
Isn't
this
cool?
Great? School administrators invited her after they found out about the note, and they paid for her whole trip. The dean talked about her in a speech and told the whole story. The speech also included a shout out to Judith for inspiring young people to do great things, and the dean asked her to, quote, keep sending students our way.
Wow.
Isn't
that
a sweet,
great
sweet story?
I just
said,
so cool.
I rarely do the kicker being sweet, but
awesome.
I got a similar note from my sixth grade teacher.
Oh, really?
But I'm happy to say I never had to invite Miss Wilkes to visit me in prison. Thank you.
Was your sixth grade teacher really Miss Wilkes?
Yeah.
That's great.
Fifth grade teacher.
Fifth grade.
I kind of took a little artistic lesson.
I love it.
Miss Wilkes was kind of hot.
Yeah, oh.
I'll see you. You're going to go to jail with that attitude. Thank you, Miss Wilkes. I'll remember that for 4 decades.
Jail.
6 decades. We'll take a break and come back with the... Why don't... I'm sorry. I'll get it. It's Rob's Audio Vault.
Last one of my life.
Thank you. Very busy show today. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Maddie. And so far on Guilty Pleasures, we've heard from ASMR addicts, stuffed animal collectors, reality TV junkies, and now we want to hear from you. Do you want to air out a secret pleasure that's been weighing you down? Do you find joy in something that's socially unacceptable? Are you one of the many middle-aged men that apparently love Dawson's Creek? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Maddie's Guilty Pleasure podcast is the place for you. Join us on the More Network as two Maddies from Buffalo talk about our weird habits and yours. Email your guiltiest pleasure to pleasure@mikeomaraShow.com to have those secrets lifted off of your shoulders. And be sure to tune in to see how your weird habits compare. And remember, it's okay to be really, really, really different. I took a page out.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. Amazon's still the best way to get what you need. However, if you want to make sure that we get credit for your Amazon purchase, you gotta do it right. So listen up. Just click the Amazon link at the top of the TMOS website. It's super easy, and that will guarantee that we get credit for your purchase. So start clicking, because if you need it, Amazon has it. What's today's Amazon purchase of the day, Rob Spielberg?
Supernatural. It's the book Robin by Dave Itzkoff. You heard him at the front of the show. It's a
$30. That's 500 pages of Robin Williams.
It's a $30 list price. Amazon has it for $18 hardcover. So buy it on Amazon, or they also have Kindle and audiobook. So it's great.
I told you I got it.
Oh, you didn't get it? I'll send it down to you.
Thank you very much.
You got it.
I appreciate that. Amazon really does have everything. You can find that book and more at the top of MikeOmeraShow.com. Get to clicking, you Amazonians. Now, without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for today. It's Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. Rob Spielberg.
Another Las Vegas reference. CBS 8 in Las Vegas, where I get all my news. Mm. And, of course, all the local TV stations have the pushy, perky morning reporter that goes out and goes places where things are happening.
Yeah,
and
Holly Morris of Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. So this lady this morning is in a canoe. In some sort of man-made channel, and her cameraman is following her on a dock, but the cameraman is looking through the sensor the camera and not really where he's walking. So he falls off the dock into, I believe it's a boat shaped like a goose or a duck.
Oh, he falls into a boat.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like he splashes, but he does fall. Here's the deal, though. He narrowly cheats death, and the camera stays rolling, and he actually gets the shot of her through the window of the small boat. But it's a good sound of him
falling.
So
he falls onto a regular boat.
Yeah, but he falls off the dock and nearly into the water.
We were talking to Captain Gio earlier.
Here she is in the boat.
He's been out here for 20 years. He usually has his morning swim. Whoa. All right, folks. We just had a little water casualty, but Chris Benka, our photographer,
hey,
is
let's
amazing.
Enhance it. Rob, play it again.
Okay, here we go.
Again, and I'll put my fall in.
Thank
there.
Thank you. Problem
really
is that he's not mic'd.
No.
If he had been mic'd, it would have been
better. I'm going to enhance the audio. We're going to edit the audio.
All right, let's go to CBS 8, Las Vegas. Right,
we were talking to Captain Gio earlier. He said he's been out here for 20 years. He usually has his morning swim. Whoa. All right, folks. We just had a little water casualty, but Chris Benka, our photographer, is amazing, and we are taking him back in closer to the dock for safety. Are you all right, Chris? He is good.
Let's try it one more time. I want to just do it one more time. Let's go. I'm going to add a few more.
All right, here we go. This is CBS 8. Las Vegas.
We were talking to Captain Gio earlier. He said he's been out here for 20 years. He usually has his morning swim. Whoa. All right, folks. We just had a little water casualty, but Chris Benka, our photographer, is amazing, and we are taking him back in closer to the dock for safety.
Three sounds I play.
Are you all right, Chris? He is good.
I'm good.
He is
not
happy. And he is hanging on, and we can tell the bosses that no electronics or cameras were injured in this live shot. John and Sherry and Nate.
Okay, that's your priority.
Yeah, and then they go back to the other anchors in the studio, and they're like, yeah. I'm glad he didn't hurt that camera. Yeah. All right, so anyway.
But what do you want him to do? Not laugh?
How about say, are you sure he's okay?
Who cares? They're on live TV.
Jimmy Kimmel has a funny wife. I will tell you
Does
this.
Does he really?
Yes, okay, because...
It's not Sarah Silverman.
No. Although they did bang for a while.
They did.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But his current wife, he asked her to take notes while they were watching the premiere of The Bachelor. Now, I really appreciate the way Jimmy Kimmel promotes The Bachelor, because he does it sort of in a backhanded way, because they're both on ABC. But he says, these are his wife's first reactions to all the contestants on The Bachelor. The Bachelor's meeting The Bachelorette.
Yes,
The Bachelorette. So these are the comments of the young men.
You're wearing a red jacket. You're on TV and you're wearing a red jacket. And you rode in on an ox. You are a loser. Blake? You can't marry a guy named Blake. What are you going to say? This is my husband, Blake? One guy comes out. She goes, get back in the limo. Go home. There's a guy who dunked basketball. He goes, that is so embarrassing. His first move is, I'm going to dunk a basketball over your head. F off.
So, you know, we all live in racially charged times, and Starbucks is retraining their staff to be more racially sensitive. We have from The Daily Show a clip from the video they showed to the Starbucks employees. This is the Starbucks race tutorial video.
Hello, Starbucks employees. I'm here today because you f***ed up, but that's fine. After today's training, those racial insensitivities will be a thing of the past. But first, a word to the black employees watching. You good, my dude. Take off. Y'all ain't got to watch none of this. I'm straight. Now, for everyone else, we'll be reviewing how to handle some common scenarios that occur inside of a Starbucks. When an African-American customer enters your store, is a right way to greet him and a wrong way?
Yo, what's up, man? Can I get the ice cold?
He wearing a bandana. Don't kill me. Just take the money. Now, here's the correct way to greet a black person in your store. Hello. Let's move on.
Just pretty hello. Simple stuff. That's it.
Just hello with the
That's
ding.
That's how you greet them. Yeah.
That's funny. What?
Hello.
All right, a couple more real quick. Taylor Swift just played a music festival in the United Kingdom, and a lot of the Taylor Swift followers on social media hate this guy that interviewed her because of the way he closed the interview. But keep in mind, she just done a long set at an outdoor festival.
We'll see you very soon. It's nice to see you. I think you need to have a shower now.
I agree, and I'm not offended that you said that. There's a lot going on, and none of it's good here.
We'll see you soon. Thank you. Nice to see you.
So Taylor Swift stinking up the joint. A lot of people thought that was crazy.
Was she obviously sweaty?
She
or
was. She was looking not so great. But I don't think
That's
you bring
just
it
so
up.
Stupid.
Really weird.
I think you have to have a shower. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. It's weird.
All right. Now
you can say that to a dude. You get to the shower.
Yeah.
No. You don't tell anybody
you don't tell
they need a shower.
You don't, how about on the sidelines of an NFL game? You don't see the sideline reporter be like, "Hey, hit the showers."
Vince Lombardi,
you don't say that.
Say, "Hey, so time for you stupid. To rinse off. You don't smell so good."
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway,
Taylor Swift. What a lovely interview that was. Oh my!
Doing that all natural thing, huh?
You should be.
A bath. Time for a bath.
Please take a bath.
All right.
Bo.
Okay. I close with this original piece of production. Mike, do you remember your impression of your drinking during the final game that the Caps won when they took it in seven, and you would do the sound of drinking, opening and drinking as smiling Irish bastard? Exactly. Well, two of our most talented contributors, Mike Pollock and Ben McDaniel, got together and made you a little record. And just so we know before we play it, this was submitted before the Tony Perkins show was canceled. Okay.
But me, I'm basically watching the game and it's like, watch the game, watch the game, watch the game, watch again, watch the game, watch again. You know, watch the game, 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 watch the game.
Mike O'Mara, listen to him swear. Rob the Spiewak, his jokes are gonna be whack. Oscar Santana, a savvy businessman. So engaging political persuasions. While you're working, put on some Tony Perkins. Pros canceled. And rookies, enjoy the cake and cookies. Great, also so, is still the Robin Joe Show. Do you find gadgets fun? Then try Tech 411. Like living in the past, check out AmeriCast. Buy the bonus. On Wednesdays, you can phone us. More.
That is your Magic Audio Vault.
So
have a
cool.
great Wednesday, everybody.
That is awesome. Great job, guys. God, people keep giving. Thank you, and we keep taking. I hope we give a little back. Thank you very much. That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for the Mike O'Mara Show. We want to thank, where did it go? Rob, hold the book up again, please.
It's Dave Itzkoff. The book is Robin. You can buy it by clicking the Amazon banner on our website.
All snail mail for the show can be sent to the Mike O'Mara Show, Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. They're doing a Wear Orange thing for Every Town for Gun Safety, kind of commemoration of the work that they're doing to end gun violence in the United States. So if you're so inclined, check out Every Town for Gun Safety and find out about the Weekend of Wearing Orange, which my daughter's very involved in, too, for Oscar Santana. And she's also doing a fundraiser for Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak. This is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us once again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.